All right. Get you to slowly start making your way back. Get yourself a glass of water. Have your stuff. Want to make you to be comfortable this morning. Amen. Wow, that got quiet real fast. That's rare. It's usually a battle to, like, get anyone in. This is how I fight my battles. I'm just like, get over here. You know what I mean? Trying to get... You know what? I love the fact that we do fellowship. It's one of the things that we tried to do right from the get-go was just give people opportunity to make sure they're saying hello to one another. We never want anybody walking in here that doesn't get acknowledged, you know, that they're present in this place and just be greeted and talked to. So it's always something that we try hard to do. So again, what I want to do this morning is I want to invite you guys as a body of Christ together with myself, all of us, just to come in to hear the word of God and to let the Spirit speak. As we hear a passage in several different versions. And so, you know, the invitation for you, and again, sometimes the word meditation can get weird for people, and it's not Eastern in any way. It's simply, again, an invitation to really concentrate on God's word, to let the Lord speak, and to actually take a few moments just to rest. To rest in his presence. How many people could use a good rest now and then? I could. And so that's why I've actually kind of enjoyed doing a bit of meditation a couple times a week, just letting the word of the Lord speak and just having a moment to get some peace. And so this is not a normal thing that we do on a Sunday morning, but you know, over the next year, we'd never want to get away from the preaching of the word of God. That is paramount, okay? But now and then, even talking with Vince a while ago, we were just kind of commenting how when you look at what Paul's instructions for church were in Scripture, we rarely do that. Now, yes, he was talking, you know, culturally and contextually to the Corinthian church, but there is something real. And if you remember what he said to the Corinthian church, I believe it was, yeah, it was the Corinthians. He said, you know, when you gather together, some of you should bring a psalm, some of you should bring a word of encouragement, you know, exhortation, a scripture. In other words, the body is participating. And so, giving you fair warning now, at some point, we're going to do that as well. Just to have more of a New Testament style, you know, church service. And let's see. And because we're a smaller church, we can do that. You know, it's kind of hard when you're in a big setting and you just start doing different things. And again, this is not going to be weekly. I don't want you coming in every week. What's that nut job going to do now? You know, I'm scared. Listen, nothing like that. We'll give you plenty of warning. We'll give you plenty of warning. We didn't today, but I'm not making you do anything, so that's okay. Yeah, all I'm getting at is we're doing different things. So I'm going to invite Chelsea to come because we're just going to have very, very lightly in the background just a, you know, a little bit of music just to help kind of, because sometimes in the silence and you got hissing going, just to help concentrate and bring you on to, you know, bring you into the presence of the Lord, I suppose it were. I suppose that we're going to find out what happens. I was kind of nervous leading up to that. I'm like, Lord, I've never led one of these. I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm confident that God is with us this morning and that he loves to speak through his word. So what we're going to do is we're going to be reading a passage at the beginning, at least just one verse, okay? At the end, we'll read the whole passage. We're going to read it in several different versions, okay? And again, I want you to let the Lord just speak. So again, this is a time of rest. It's a time of relaxation. God loves to encounter his people. That's the encouragement that we have, okay? There's no right or wrong way of hearing the word this morning. If you want to leave your eyes open, you want to look around, whatever you need to do. I think generally speaking, most people kind of like to close your eyes. We're not making you do anything. You can simply sit and receive this morning. Okay, and there's no breathing exercises or anything, but I would encourage you to just kind of let your, you know, breathing slow down. You know, be at a good, healthy pace. So I'll be reading our verse, and I'll tell you what it is in a moment, first in the ESV, okay? But for the next couple of moments before we read it, what I want you to do, as we meditate on God's word this morning, I want you to consider how God wants to move in your life this upcoming year. I want you to begin to consider what it is that the Lord would do. Also allow the Holy Spirit, okay, to show you areas of your life that might need to be given to Him in greater submission, you know, or see the needs that should be dealt with in your life. Just let the Holy Spirit speak, okay? Let's see what God would do this morning. And the other thing I think I want to invite you to receive today is your Father's love. Just begin to receive God's love to you today. He's a good God, and He loves to lavish affection on His children. So as the Spirit comes and He speaks to your heart, He might show you an area of sin. He might show you an area where you're holding on to something. The encouragement is to let that go. Receive your Father's love today. One of the beautiful things about Scripture is that so much of it obviously is about specific things, obviously like prophetic words, okay, things that events in Israel's history, biblical characters. But even though they might be about specific things, these always have some application and meaning in our lives. It doesn't mean we usurp God's word or try to make Scripture about us or make us the center, but God speaks through His word. That's just how it works. And so it is with this passage this morning. It has application and meaning for our lives. It's a picture of a sure event to come, okay? But it does have application for our lives. So let the Lord speak as we read. Passage today, and I don't have it up on the screen because I just want you to sit and listen. It's going to be in Revelation 21, verses 1 to 5, but especially in verse 5. It says this, "And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" What might the Lord be saying to you as you read this, as you hear this this morning? Is there an area of your life that you want God to come in and begin to make new? Allow the Holy Spirit in this moment to highlight an area of your life that He wants to make new. I want you to take a picture of the one who is on the throne. Begin to consider now a God who is above all things and can speak with authority from His throne. Is this an all-powerful God? Is this one who is actually able to make things new in your life? Take that picture of what it is that you would like to make new. Some area of your life that's broken, that needs a touch from God this morning. Is God able to make it new? I'm going to invite Chelsea to now read our verse in the Amplified Version. What I want you to do is I want you to listen for a word or a phrase and then let the Lord speak through it. So go ahead, Chelsea.
And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true. They are accurate, incorruptible, and trustworthy."
Hear that one more time. And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true. They are accurate, incorruptible, and trustworthy." Take that word, that phrase that was highlighted, and let it linger on your spirit and on your heart. Are God's promises and his word true? Can you trust them this morning? The Amplified says that they are accurate, incorruptible, and trustworthy. Allow the Lord to encourage you this morning that he is indeed trustworthy. And what you have read in his word and what you've heard this morning, you can believe. Maybe there's a scripture that you read a long time ago, or a word of prophecy that was given to you that you're not sure about. Begin to apply God's truth to that situation, to that thing now. You can even invite God to help you believe his word and to believe his promises. Maybe in terms of one of the areas that needs to be made new, that this is an area that needs to change. Maybe you need to begin reading God's word, what we call the Bible, more this year in order to grow. So ask God in this moment to give you a new love and respect for his word, his true and trustworthy word. Now consider what you might need to do in order to get to that point. What is it that you might have to do to spend more time in God's word to better believe his promises? I'm going to invite Benny to come. Don't stay out of that. Stay thinking. But she is going to read this verse in the Message. Stay in that thought, though. What am I going to need to do to get there?
The enthroned continued. Look, I'm making everything new. Write it all down, each word dependable and accurate. The enthroned continued. Look, I'm making everything new. Write it all down, each word dependable and accurate.
Is God's word dependable? The encouragement of the Spirit is that you can depend on God, you can depend on His Word, and you can believe Him. Now let's look at the whole picture that John saw. We're going to read verses 1 through 5 in the New English Translation. I'll invite you to stay with your eyes closed. John is picturing, he's being given a vision of what's to come. And this is what it says. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and earth had ceased to exist, and the sea existed no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, made ready like a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, the residence of God is among human beings. He will live among them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will not exist anymore. There'll be no more mourning or crying or pain, for the former things have ceased to exist. And the one seated on the throne said, look, I am making all things new. Then he said to me, write it down, because these words are reliable and true. How are you making yourself ready for God? Are you closer to God this year than you were last year? If you're not, why not? Again, what is it that you might need to do in order to grow close to God this year? In this passage, it says that one day we will be His people and He will be our God. It says that He will wipe every tear from our eye and there will be no more crying or pain. We won't be fully rid of these until that day. However, the Lord wants to minister to your pain this morning. So is there pain or sadness, grief in your life today that you want God to take and to wipe your tears from? Give those things to God now and receive His peace. On this first Sunday of the year 2020, on this beautiful winter morning, allow yourself to receive God's love, just His presence. Maybe God's pushing you to deal with some sin, some issue in your life. Whatever it is, receive what it is that God has for you this morning, and He corrects us in love. comes and he meets us in love. Take a moment to commit to the Lord again your desire to grow in him, to become closer to him, and to allow him to make you new this year. Father, as we close up this portion, this small, brief time of meditation, and we go into a time of just kind of prayer for our body here, and we go before your table, the words that were spoken by your Spirit to each person sitting here, what was received, I just pray now, I ask, Lord, that it would just be cemented right into our hearts and our spirits. We say amen and amen to the promises and the encouragements and the corrections that were made this morning. We just leave behind, God, the awkwardness of, hey, we've never done this before. We don't know what it is. And instead, Lord, we sit and we receive from you. And I think specifically of Mary this morning, who sat at the feet of her Lord and listened as he spoke. We know that so many of us are Marthas, where we want to stay busy. We need to do things. We need to be running around. I pray that in 2020 that we would learn to become Marys. Taking time to sit and to listen to what you would say to us, oh God. Amen. How did that feel? Was that okay? That wasn't too weird, was it? Like, we're not going to lose people now, are we? Is that kind of what's... I did ask a few people that they might keep an ear open to the Lord if there was a word that was given, and I'm wondering, did anyone hear anything? We good? Oh, Jack got one. Nathan got one. Come on up. Both of you guys can come. Yeah, awesome. Jack had his hand up first.
God's really been sharing about how prayer is more than us talking to him and saying, these are the things I need from you. But it's also about him speaking to us, that we come and we listen, and we hear from him. And one of the things that God really pointed out to me just during that time is that Jesus recognized this so much that even when he was fasting in the wilderness at the start of his ministry, when Satan tempted him to turn a rock into bread so he'd have something to eat, he replied by saying that man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So he recognized that hearing from our Heavenly Father is actually something that brings us life. It's a time where we can go and rest and restore, like Jeremy was saying. And the encouragement also comes from Matthew 6, when Jesus was sharing about how to pray. Because prayer is not some secret arcane art. He told us it's something very simple. He said, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they can be seen by others. But truly I say to you, they've received their reward. When you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Jesus is telling us here that we don't have to know what to say when we come to God. We don't have to figure out the right combination of words. We don't have to figure out what we're supposed to do. We come to him the way that we are. We come to him in secret. We give him the things we're thinking, the things we're feeling. And we just say, "God, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come." We bring to him, "Lord, we need forgiveness. We need to be able to forgive others. We need to be led away from evil." We come to him and we say, "God, we don't have the power to do this. We don't know what to do, but we want to hear from you. We want to see you move."
Nathan.
Could I get maybe Dan and Jess to come up and help me? Sorry, my writing might not be the best. But during worship, I believe God gave me a picture. So I've been practicing trying to hear God's voice. So if this word is for you today, please come and give me some feedback. I'm more than open to feedback. But I feel like when worship was happening, that God gave me this picture of God and this picture of you. And for some of you, when Pastor Jeremy said this morning, I think he said it 3 or 4 times, "Receive God's love," you already came in here with the question, "God, do you even love me?" And as you've been asking that question, there's been some separation coming between you and God. And I believe that it's even more than that, that as you've been asking God this question, "God, do you even love me?" that you've even started to ask the question, "God, do you even exist?" And there's been more separation coming between you and God. And I believe what God wants to say to you this morning is, "I love you. I love you." You know, the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Draw near to God." But there's an aspect there too. Right after that, it says, talking about cleaning yourself of sin. It also says in Mark chapter 3:14, it talks about how when Jesus appointed the disciples, he said first and foremost that they would be with me. And so I believe that God wants you to be with him, that he wants to show you that love, that he wants you to get close to him. And so if that's you this morning, I believe God wants to encourage you that he loves you. And not only does he love you, but that he is real. So can I just pray into that a little bit? Yeah. So Father, I just ask for that person that might be questioning, "God, do you love me?" I ask that right now by your Spirit, Holy Spirit, will you just show them very tangibly how much you love them? Not only that, would you just show them how real you are? That as they spend time, just like in Mark chapter 3, where the disciples were to be with you, as they spend time trying to be with you, as they ask the question, "How do I abide with you?" that you would just show them how to abide with you, how to be with you. That as they read the Bible, as Pastor Jeremy was talking about this morning, as they read the Bible, as they meditate upon your word, that you would just show yourself to them in a fresh and new way. As they spend time at your feet like Mary, spending time with you, praying, seeking your face, that you would show yourself anew. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, please.
Just as we were going and listening to those scriptures, the thing that actually kept standing out to me was when it was saying, "Write it down," or "These words are written down." And I just really felt God just reminding me, even, is that when you write down the words that God says to you, the promises, even if there's things this morning that just a word that he highlighted, You know, sometimes some things get written on our heart, but sometimes we actually think we're going to remember, and then later it's like, oh shoot, what was God saying? But just that importance, like, write it down, even if it's just one word. You don't need to journal a long thing, but write down the words that God is saying to you now, and then at the end of the year, look back through the year and see what he's done. But just that importance that his words are permanent, but when we, even as we have the word of God to look at and read, having a word written on paper is just very important. And yeah, so that's my encouragement for myself and for you guys this year, to find somewhere and just write down what God's saying to you.
That's actually really important. I can't tell you the amount of sermons I've written in my head at work. I mean, this is gonna be the greatest sermon ever, and I don't write it down. Literally 4 hours later, I can't remember a word of what it was. When the Lord speaks, write it down. Cindy, why don't you come, and then if you're going to share a word, and then I'll also get you to kind of close this portion in prayer, if you don't mind.
Since the summer, God's been giving me different scripture verses to just sort of ponder on and to pray about. And I've been asking him why. And over time, I've been getting a little bit of clarity. I still don't have the full picture. But I feel to share today what I've been praying into since this summer. And I believe that God has words from other people as well, because we're a body, each joint supplying, each person having a portion to share and to give into our body and into his body as a whole. So in the summer, when we were at prayer at Pastor Jeremy's, I just couldn't get away from Matthew 14, where it talks about Peter. Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." The next thing, a couple of months later, it was like I couldn't get away from the sower and the seed. It was just something that was on my heart, and I was pondering and praying into, saying, "God, what are you saying? What are you wanting me to know?" So in Luke 8 it says, "And when his disciples asked him what the parable meant, he said, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand.' Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing they fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that, in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. In Matthew, Peter was wanting to step out into another dimension of faith, to walk on the water like he had seen Jesus do. He even asked Jesus to command him to come, maybe thinking that it would not require anything from him. When we step out on faith, we must not doubt. We must trust in Jesus and his word. We must believe, and this means we must know what we believe. Everything that we need is in the book, the Bible. Meditate on it day and night. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." These were passages that came to me before Pastor Jeremy said he wanted to pray about faith and understanding the kingdom of God. In Luke, we are told that we have been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. This seed falls into the hearts of those who hear the word. Different things can happen when we hear. The devil can come and steal the word from our hearts so that we don't believe. We don't cultivate the soil of our hearts to believe, and when testing comes, we fall away. We become consumed by the cares, the riches, and pleasures of life that eventually choke out the word that has been planted. Or we hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. Peter fell into the doubting heart, the unbelieving heart, where he stepped out of the boat. But when he saw the waves, he doubted and began to sink. His faith was tested, and it wasn't strong enough. But he didn't fail. He took a chance to believe. He didn't want to stay in the same place of faith. He wanted his faith to grow. Do not become discouraged when things you are believing for don't happen, or they happen differently than they thought they would. You are exercising your faith, or cultivating the soil of your heart to trust and to believe, to increase your faith. Peter went through many times of testing, but he didn't give up. He kept moving forward. He finished his race. With patience, he allowed his earthly life to die and be transformed into a Christ-like one. John 1:15 says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Last week during Jeremy's message, I saw what looked like a seed, but it was in a dark yet fluid environment. It had been there for some time. Then the seed began to open, to grow. There was something about the environment. I asked myself, what was it? It was like a womb, the perfect temperature, the perfect time for conception, but the seed was not growing because of human effort. It was by his Spirit, not by power, not by might, but by his Spirit, says the Lord, because of a yielding to him, because of a submission to him, or a laying down of ourselves. There was an anticipation because a seed would grow, not because of human effort. There was obedience on our part. Listening, hearing, speaking, but allowing it to grow by the Spirit, with the Spirit, into the Spirit, at its own rate, in its own time. There was another scripture verse that I had been searching for, and I wasn't sure what it was, but this morning when I read Jim Cimbala's daily devotion, he quotes Psalms 92, "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green." The goal of this growth process is that we are to bear fruit. God is not interested in what we do for him, as in our bearing spiritual fruit. That's the kind of breakthrough he is looking for. And only his Spirit at work within us can produce the godly character he desires. During this prayer and fast, seek God. What is it that he is asking you to do with fasting? We are a body of believers where each joint supplies. We each have areas in our own personal lives that we need to give over to him. Read his word, seek his counsel, apply his word to your life. If you need help with how to apply it, reach out to someone. Ask for help. If someone asks you for help and you don't know how to answer them, tell them, be honest. But together you can still seek God for the answer and find someone who can help. As a body, we want our faith to increase so we can be a better witness. We want our understanding of the kingdom to increase so that we can see what God is doing and hear what he is saying. We want our understanding of being Christ-like to increase so we can draw people to him so that we can bear fruit. Father, I thank you that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven during this prayer and fast. Father, we seek your will. We seek your voice. We desire to hear you. In Isaiah, you say, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Father, we seek you. We call upon you. We desire you. Lord, we want to lay down our lives that your will be done, not by our own strength, not by our own might, but by your Spirit. Lord, minister to each person in this place today. Touch each heart today. Father, speak to each person that they would know your will, that they would be obedient to your will, and even as Nathan said, that they would know how much you love them. Father, we draw near to you today. We draw near to you today in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen. Well, there's no better way now to close out than by taking communion together, going before the Lord's table. So I'll invite Vince and Daniel. They're going to come and hand out the emblems this morning. Stay just a moment more in the presence of God. I know it was a bit of a different morning this morning, a little of a different feel, a different vibe, but you know what? Different is good. And certainly on this first day, again, I've never been a huge believer in first day of the year, you know, and all that kind of stuff, but there is something powerful to saying on the first day of a new year that this is the year that I want God to move in my life, that I want to commit to coming into his presence and to doing what it takes and to seeing those changes happen. And when we take the Lord's table, the supper together, we're remembering what it is that Jesus did for us. The fact that we're even here able to receive like this from God and the Spirit is all due to him. That he made us new, as it were, with him. He came and he reconciled us to God. If you were with us last week, and we'll make sure the message is up this week, it was one you have to listen to. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not while we were great and getting everything together. While we absolutely could do nothing to look after ourselves, to get ourselves right, Jesus died. That's what we remember this morning. That's what this is. You've heard several people, several different words say, about God's word. And that's obviously the encouragement that God is giving us. I didn't know that that's what he had been saying to people. I just knew what he was saying here. that his words are trustworthy and true. If he says he's able to take broken things and make them new, you can believe it. If he says he's able to take pain and bring healing, he's able to do it. Replace, you know, mourning with joy, grief with gladness. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthian church, is talking about how they come together and eat supper, how they're supposed to have a meal together. And he's given them instruction, and he's given them correction on things that they're doing wrong. And it comes to verse 23, and he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's take of this bread. It's a remembrance of his body that was broken for our healing, for our bodies. It says, "In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this every time you drink it in remembrance of me.' For every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's drink this and remember the blood that was shed, and let's proclaim what he's done. Hallelujah. 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 We remember you, Lord. We remember you as a people. We commit, God, to proclaiming what it is that you've done for us, God, for this world. God, it's your desire that none would perish, but that all would come to the saving knowledge of who you are and of your Son, that all would place their trust in Jesus. Thank you, God, for the word that was spoken to us this morning, your trustworthy, true word. We bless you today. I'm going to invite Colin to come. He's just going to close up for us with a word of benediction and whatever God wants you to do, man.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for everything. Thank you, God. You are the one with the plan. We trust in your plan. We trust you with our lives. We never asked to be born. We never asked for this. We never asked to before time, before we were born, to be called into relationship with you. And so we just trust in your plan for our lives. We trust in you. You're so good. You're so kind. You're so loving. And it's so good to connect with you this morning, and it just thrills me to know your children, all of us, just connecting with you. You're so good. We just want more. We just want more people to know you, to know your love, and to know your provision, and just how good you are. And so we just receive your goodness right now. Just receive your love right now. That's what you want for us. Just to be still and know that you're God. And in this moment, we're still, and we know and we declare that you are the God of our lives. And we receive your goodness into our life. We receive your provision and your love and your kindness and your goodness. Your word says somewhere, can't remember where, but all that matters is faith working through love. And so we ask that you increase our faith and increase our ability to receive your love so that we might give your love. And so we just pray a blessing on all of us this morning, that we'd be receivers and givers of relationship with you. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Thank you for what you did in lives this morning. We praise you. You are good. We declare that you're awesome. We love you. We love your love. And we have faith in you in this moment. We trust in you. Thank you, God. Amen.
All right, church, go have a blessed week. Loved having you here this morning. I hope you have a great one. I want to say real quickly, congratulations to George, okay? Josie, they got engaged when they were in Britain for a holiday over Christmas, so make sure you shake his hand. And, you know, one thing I want you guys to do this year, if you haven't done it before, start going out to lunch with people that you haven't, okay? You got the same old people, kind of, they're great, we love them, but invite someone new over, go out with someone new. Can you do that? Have a great week. We'll see you back next week. Amen.